Everybody, good to see you guys. If you are new here, my name is John Wagler, and I'm part of the team, and it's an honor to have you guys with us. You know, we put a lot of thought and creativity into creating a safe place for people to explore their faith and to discover purpose, to be known in community, and then to go out and make a difference. And so if you are new here, just what an honor it is for us to have you here. And so thank you so much, and I hope this is a place that you'll eventually call home. Before we get into the message here today to kick off this Filled series, I just want to talk about something that's been happening here this past week with Camp Hope. They had this little mini camp. Camp Hope is one of our ministry partners, and they had this camp about 60 to 70 kids here, and then they had something going on for moms of those children as well, and they were here Thursday and Friday and just had a wonderful time and doing some incredible ministry to kids. And then next week, all next week, there will be about 145, I think that's right, 145 children going up to Watermarks Camp. Well, they'll be there all week, and there are about 43 Hill City folks that are involved in Camp Hope, and so it's just an incredible ministry that is happening there, an unbelievable partner, and I bring Camp Hope up because they are, because of your generosity, we help them do what they do, and so I just want to say thank you for your hearts, because, you know, quite often, you don't necessarily know where the money goes in terms of, I just gave, and like, what else is going on, but like even like being here in here this week and just seeing the visible representation of one of the places that your money goes to. And Camp Hope is an example too of like how much is going on outside of these walls that we support and are involved in. And they actually go to Costa Rica and Latvia as well with what they do. And so thank you so much for your generosity. And know when you're giving here, it's making an incredible impact, not only in Richmond, but beyond Richmond. And so if you did want to give, we've got share boxes on your way out, or you can give online, which directions are in your seat. So just thank you so much for your heart for that. The other thing is that eventually we will move into our new space. So I know there's people out there sitting in the lobby, and thank you so much for being flexible out there. We are going to work really hard to get in there by next Sunday. We're hoping to make it happen. It's not definitive. We won't be able to announce it until maybe like Thursday, and so what we'll do is we're gonna do our best to make it happen, and then we will get it out as quickly as we can once we know. But we'll be in there soon, and we'll have a little more space for you guys that don't know. The new space we're moving into is in the same building, just over in a different area, and we'll be able to seat about 600 people or so pretty comfortably in there. And then we'll go back to two services for a season, and hopefully add a third in there soon. But so that's coming. We're getting there. So just stay flexible and embrace the heat in here, and we'll get there soon. So we're starting off this new series called Filled, and part of what kind of led me to this whole series are multiple things, but one of the things was my roommate in college. We played baseball together, and he's one of our pitchers, and he always got cramps. Like whenever we would go out for a run, he would get cramps in his hamstrings. Whenever he would pitch, it'd be a cramp somewhere, like typically in his side. And it was just always something. So one day the trainer sits down with him and he says, "Hey, well, what do you drink during the day?" And he's like, "Diet Coke and coffee." And so the trainer was like, "You need to drink water." And he's like, "I don't like the taste of water." And so the trainer's just like, "Then you'll keep getting cramps." And he just said, "Okay." So for 4 years, he just got cramps all the time. And we would just be like, "Boo." Well, his nickname was Boo. I was like, "Boo, just drink water." And he's like, "I don't like it." And I was like, "Fine." So he'd be running lots, and you'd just see him all the time. He'd be like, and he'd go down to the ground. And so he was putting something in his body that was making his body like empty, you know, instead of being filled with the right things. And his body started to respond accordingly. We all do this in some capacity, or most of us do this in some capacity, putting things in our bodies that are not super healthy. They're actually empty in the end. I was reading a book this week, or listening to a book, that was talking about this study with just children and ADHD, and in particular also in adolescents, and how often children are misdiagnosed. Now, obviously, some do have ADHD, but how often children are misdiagnosed with ADHD, that they're actually simply sleep deprived, and that when a child is sleep deprived, it mimics ADHD perfectly. And so what the doctor was talking about was, yes, absolutely, sometimes kids need medicine and everything else. That's a thing. But he was saying, like, quite often, though, when kids aren't getting enough sleep, their bodies don't have what they need to actually respond properly. Well, so what is that? There's an emptiness there that doesn't want to be filled with the right things, and their body responds accordingly. Now, we could go on and on about all these things that we do and all of these situations that we see around us that are, in the end, left empty. In the end, we can't quite fulfill. In the end, we make decisions for our bodies that our bodies respond accordingly, whether that's healthy or unhealthy. We can say the same thing about decisions that we make. And it led me to this one line that I wrote down. I said, we can't be filled if we are running on things that make us empty. So it seems logical, right? If we're making decisions around things that are going to continuously make us empty, then we will never actually experience what it means to be filled. We will never actually experience what it means to be healthy. We will never actually experience what it means to be free. And that's what this whole series is going to be about, is making decisions and being open to something that will allow us to really be free, that will allow us to experience this filled nature. That's something that can come in us that will then pour out of us in such a way that we've never experienced before, rather than always running on empty time and time again. You know, when Jesus was teaching his disciples, if you're not familiar with the Bible, the disciples were kind of this original crew of followers that Jesus had with him. And the most famous ones are the 12 that are named in the Bible. But then there are also like some women that were around and stuff too. And then other people would gather around and listen to what Jesus would teach. And he would come up to them. And that was often what he was talking about was what are you filling or what are you trying to fill your life up with? What are you using as your fuel? What are you using to make decisions off of? Are those things leading you down this empty path, or are they leading to your actual purpose and to have a fulfillment in your life? And so that was often, he would take these simple illustrations and he would say, like, he would be like, there's this option and there's this option. Which one are you choosing? Right? They all take us down a path. Or he would say, blessed are the people who do X, Y, Z. Right? And so he would make these things and they, like, tell to these people that were following him, like, if you want to have a filled life, a fulfilled life, a free life, then you've got to make these decisions, make these choices. But they had a choice. They could decide to follow or to not follow, to obey or not obey, to choose whatever path they wanted to. And just like you and me, we have a choice. Now, some people that were around Jesus at that time chose not to follow, chose not to listen, and in the end, led them down a different path. For instance, one of the people there, the disciples, the original ones, was this guy named Judas. And Judas had a decision to make. Did he want to betray Jesus and chase after money, or do something else and choose a different path and follow him? He chose to betray Jesus, which ended up leading to the death of Jesus and actually his own death as well. There were other people around him that had this choice. Do I want to follow what Jesus is saying and experience life differently, or do I want to go do my own thing? Well, many people had those decisions, and so what Jesus started doing was saying, listen, if you want to experience a truly filled life, if you want to experience a life that's actually free, then you got to be open to something. You got to be open. And so in John chapter 14, he gathers, well, he didn't say, hey, John chapter 14, but in John chapter 14, the disciples are gathered around, and he says this to them in verse 15 through 17. He says, if you love me, right? And this is important. So if you ever see something like that in scripture, it's important to just pause, because if you say you love Jesus, then you have to do what's following next. So he says, if you love me, obey my command. If you love me, obey my commandments, right? So that also implies that if we don't obey what Jesus taught, then the question can be asked, do you really love me? Okay, so Jesus is saying, if you love me, so you say, yes, I love you, Jesus, then obey my commandments. Obey what I taught. And this is why we talk so much about, hey, does everything point back to Jesus in our lives? That's why we're always going to talk about that. Does it point back to Jesus? Does it point back to Jesus? Does it point back to Jesus? And so he then continues on and he says this in verse 16. He says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, someone to come alongside of us, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into the truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him. because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So Jesus makes a pretty interesting statement as he's talking to the disciples. He's like, here's what's going to happen, guys. Like, you guys know the Spirit, and the Spirit's going to come alongside. He's your advocate. He's going to point you to the truth, and we're going to talk a lot about that next week. But he's going to come alongside of you, and then eventually that can be, like, he's going to work in you. So you can imagine what they're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? I don't understand this Spirit thing, but okay, like, I say I love you. I want to be open to this. And Jesus is like, you got to be open to this idea if you really want to experience truth, this idea of the Spirit. And so you can imagine it kind of sets them back a little bit. He goes, but you already know him. Now, here's what was happening. And let me explain to you this way. When it comes to the Spirit, if you can remember, and you guys might be in different stages with this, but if you're here and you say that you know, I decided to follow Jesus, or even just here in general, there's probably some moment where you felt like this tug in your heart. You're like, I feel like I should be here. I feel like I should be around this. I feel like, you kind of just like, I don't know what that is. I just feel like I've never like really been into this church thing, but I just feel like I should go, or I feel like I should. Well, what is that? It's the kind of recognition of the Spirit. So what Jesus is saying, you that are experiencing this, like you know what the Spirit is like. Like you know him, like you're open to it. Now the world, meaning like people are just denying everything and who I am, or we're just ignoring who Jesus was, like they don't know who the Spirit is. They're not remotely open to how the Spirit works. And so because of that, they have no idea who the Spirit is. So he continues to teach, and a couple of chapters later, he's talking to them in John 16, and in verse 7, it says this, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And in verse 12 and 13, he says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. And so he says, hey guys, it's actually best for you that I leave, because the Spirit's going to bring something here that I can't do. It's best. And he's like, you can imagine the disciples at that time like, no, Jesus, we think you're the best. And he's like, I mean, you're right, I am the best. But like the Spirit's going to bring something else, something different, but you've got to be open to it. It is best for you. And then he goes, and the Spirit, and we're going to talk about this a lot over the next few weeks, that the Spirit then leads you into truth. Let me ask you this by show of hands. How many of you guys have made a decision in your life that you regret or was like really foolish? Yeah, it's everybody, right? So can you imagine if in that moment you had something helping you make a good decision? In that moment, if you had a way to be open to something that would lead you to a better perspective, to actual truth. In that moment where you decided, you know, this would be a great idea to date him or to date her, and you look back now and you're like, no, it wasn't. Like, in that moment, can you imagine if you were open to something that would have steered you in a better direction for better perspective? And so what Jesus is saying is like, this is what the Spirit begins to do. It guides you into truth and to wisdom. And in Luke 24, 49, he says this, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Now, here's what's amazing. He says to wait. Now, we don't like to wait for anything. We want six-pack abs in 6 minutes. We want to say, we've got a need, we want one prayer. We don't have to pray for any longer than one prayer. We're like, God, answer, right? That's how we want everything. And so we want to pray that way, we think that way, we want everything now. But Jesus is like, no, hold up. Wait, be open, appreciate the process. There's some things that got to happen here, but just it's not going to all happen at once. Just pause and wait. Appreciate the journey, the step, the process, and everything. And you know what's interesting? He then says, and then when you have the power of the Spirit, or when the Spirit is working in you, then there's this power in you. Now, when I say, hey, think of something that represents power, like we think like strength or like domination, or we think like America. We think like just kind of there's a violence associated with it. We think like that goes along with power. But the power that Jesus talks about that's actually fulfilling is this idea that what's produced out of us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what's produced out of, that's real power. This other power that we think is out there, that's fake, it's empty. It doesn't lead to anything. But the real power that's producing us as we're open to what the Spirit begins to shape in us produces that. That's why a lot of times I'm like, when people are like, I just can't see Jesus in this, or I can't see the truth in this, or I can't know. I'm like, well, what's being produced in you in this decision? Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control being produced out of you in this? In your opinions, in your perspective, in the way that you're living your life? No? Okay, then it's not of God. They're like, well, that stinks. That's too easy, right? It's like pretty simple in some ways. Like, well, if that's not there, then guess what? It's not of God. And don't claim that it is, because what happens when you claim that it is, you'll find it's just empty in the end. So it's something powerful is produced out of us through it. So then this question comes up, and that's really this. Like, do I really want to trust or skip the process? See, when we're open to the Spirit, here's what happens. Like, there's a process that starts chipping away at us. Some of it's you take a massive step. Some of it's you take little steps. But there's this process. But do we want to trust or skip the process? And we've got to be open to what God wants to shape in us, even if it's little by little, even if we have to wait along the way. So here's what I'm going to try and do in about 2 minutes. I'm going to try and condense a 2,000-year discussion in a heavy theological topic and as simplistic as I can, all right? And it's this idea of where the Spirit comes from. Because a lot of times, you can imagine even when Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and you might now be in the same way being like, yeah, but who is this Spirit? Like, what? This is mysterious, right? Who's the Spirit? And so that when you look at the kind of Christian theology, one of the key components to, and unique components to Christian theology is this idea of the Trinity. And the Trinity is that there's one God manifested in three ways. All right, so we have God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, and so we saw that actually in all the scripture passages I just read. You saw the Father, Son, and the Spirit represented there. And now this can be like confused because like, well, some people say it's three separate people and they kind of describe it that way, but that's not right because the Spirit isn't really a person. Like that's not, but it's the kind of our framework and how we kind of think of it. But it's this three, it's manifested in three ways, in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so, but they're all one God. Now, you might have heard it maybe at some point in your life in a little more simplistic way where someone's like, it's like water, right? It's like, it's a solid, it's a liquid, it's a gas, but it's still water. Now, there's holes in the theory a little bit, but it's simplistic. We're trying to gather that, all right? Or maybe a three-leaf clover, right? It's one leaf, or it's one clover, but there's three separate leaves to it. But it's just one. It's just, but you represent it a different way. The most recent one that I heard that is actually this one. It's like the Neapolitan, and it's just like my least favorite dessert. But it's but what happens in the Neapolitan is you can't experience the fullness of this ice cream unless what you have all of it. But what happens with a Neapolitan, and we all know this to be true, so this is why I don't understand why people serve it. What happens with a Neapolitan ice cream is what? Everyone's like, chocolate, yeah. Vanilla, yeah. And what's always left over? The whole strawberry, right? The only part that the people eat of the strawberry is like just happens to get mixed in with your chocolate and your vanilla. And so that's like kind of a little bit like the idea of like, the Father's chocolate? Sure, I'll take the Father. The Son is vanilla? I got that. Spirit? Strawberry. I just want to push that off to the side and there'll be a lot of the Spirit left over. But here's the thing. You can't experience God to the fullest unless you have all three. You can't experience. So if we're saying no and we're going to close ourselves off to who the Spirit is, then you're essentially just also saying, you know what? I actually don't want to experience you, God. I don't want to experience you to the fullest extent. Is there some mystery to the Spirit? Absolutely. You know, even the Spirit's referred to as breath or spirit, or I'm sorry, breath or wind in the Bible because it's invisible. You can't, there's like a little bit of a mystery to it and where it starts and how the Spirit works. And then it's also referred to as water, which because there's this quenching nature to how the Spirit works in us. You get that because we're empty or thirsty and the Spirit comes to quench and to fill. There's this aspect to the Spirit being talked about as fire, like it's like consumes. It's hard to control. That's how the Spirit begins to work in us. And is there still some mystery? Of course there is. If we could simply define God, why would we ever want to worship that kind of God? Like, there's got to be a faith element. There's got to be a little mystery. It's got to be bigger than what we can take in. But we can still experience God in incredible ways. What's also interesting when you think about this idea of the Spirit and how Spirit works, it kind of completes our God-intended versions of ourselves. Now, how does it do that? Well, when you look at Genesis chapter 1, it says that we're all made in the image of God. And so here's what this means. That in us, when we are living in the way that God would want us to live, what comes out of us is a representation of who God is. And so, for instance, like when we are creative in who we are, it's just like the Father was creative in creation. When we're sacrificing and when we're generous and when we're being sent into things, like whether that's work or we do missions trips, whatever, it's like Jesus being sent in to sacrifice and to love and forgive. And when we are a witness to the love of Jesus, when we become to boldly proclaim things and things like that, then we become just like the Spirit. And so what we begin to see is we begin to image God in those ways. And so in its entire, I'm breaking this down as simply as I can and probably confusing you guys more, but that's like the essence of the Trinity. But here's the thing. When it comes to the Spirit, we still back off from the Spirit. And I think there are three main reasons why. And the first one is a lack of knowledge of the Spirit. And that's what these 5 weeks are about. We want to build some layers of foundation to who the Spirit is, what the Spirit does, and why it's so important for us to be open to the work of the Spirit in our lives. So I think that there's a general lack of knowledge, and we're going to talk about that. The second thing is that we're too comfortable. We have too much comfort. You know, we love to sing a song like, if you guys have been around church, it's a song called Oceans. And we're like, oh, Spirit, lead me where my trust. And we're like, da-na. But when it's like, we really have to do it, we're like, actually, no. I like borders. I don't want to like go beyond my borders or make me feel uncomfortable. So Spirit, actually don't lead me. I'm just gonna lead myself. And so we get too much comfort. But the second we say, I wanna be open to the Spirit, then here's what says, okay, Spirit, you can actually lead me. Ah, but that's a little more dangerous. It's not quite as safe. You're gonna have to make some decisions differently. You're gonna start viewing life differently. Start viewing relationships differently. Start viewing money differently. Start viewing your jobs differently. Why? Because we've opened ourselves up to something that God has for us that we were previously closed off to. I think the third thing that reason why we ignore the Spirit is that we don't want to be weird. And so, because here's what has happened a lot of times in church. And again, if you've grown up in church, you may have experienced this in certain places. Or if you've been on the outside looking in for a while, you've probably seen videos or something like that. But people say things like, we're a Spirit-filled church. And because we've got this going on and that going on. And I'm like, yeah, but no one's actually coming to know Jesus. So guess what? It's not Spirit-filled. So being Spirit-filled doesn't mean it has to be demonstrative. Being Spirit-filled doesn't mean that it has to be weird. Being Spirit-filled doesn't have to mean that it's going to be some show of these crazy things happening all around, and you're walking into a place being like, what is going on? And you just see people just all over the place doing whatever they want to. It's chaotic, and we're like, it's the Spirit. And I will say this, but sometimes the Spirit works in such a way that some things happen that are just, you take a step back and you're just like, what just happened? Whether that's some kind of miracle or something that is just like never seen before, or whatever. It's like, well, I can't believe the Spirit just worked in this way. And here's the key, and we're going to go over some key indicators of how to see if the Spirit's working or not, but one of the key indicators of whether the Spirit is actually working in something or not is this. Are people being drawn to Jesus in it? Because if they're not, if we aren't seeing people come to know Jesus and want to be, to choose to follow Jesus, to want to experience Jesus in an incredible way, then that's not the Spirit leading. The Spirit always points back to Jesus. So if it's just 25 people or 100 people or 1,000 people get around and they're just like, we're in the Spirit. And it's just a bunch of those Christians doing just that, and non-Christians or people struggling aren't coming in, then guess what? That's not being led by the Spirit. It's being led by something else. But we can't close ourselves off and say like, no, the Spirit does exactly just this in this little box and I don't want to see anything outside of that. We've got to be open to what the Spirit does, but the Spirit will always point us back to Jesus. The Spirit will always, even when the things that kind of leave us in awe, there's a sense of order to it. It isn't just a free-for-all. And so even, then we see that all throughout the New Testament. And so it's important. So I promise you, it's not going to get weird here. All right, over the next 5 weeks. All of a sudden, you're going to be like, what just happened since August? But no, we're going to just talk about that we've got to be open to what the Spirit can actually do. And I want to end this morning by looking at the passage where we got the title for this series from. And it's from Ephesians chapter 5, so you can turn there if you've got your Bibles. But Paul is speaking here, and he's writing this letter back to the church at Ephesus, and they're making some decisions that aren't super healthy for them. And he wants them to understand what to be actually open to. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says this, be careful how you live. And listen, someone could write this today and it'd be just as prevalent as back then. But so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And I love that part because I said earlier, we've all made foolish decisions. We've all made things we wish we hadn't done. But in that moment, can you imagine if we paused for a second and said, what would a wise person do here? Like, what would a wise person do in this scenario? And what Paul says is like, this is what the Spirit begins to do for us. So he says, make the most out of every opportunity in these evil days, meaning you've only got a certain amount of time on this earth. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I was in a discussion this week with Corey, our youth pastor, and he was like, man, he's like, Wags, what's like one thing you want our church to be able to do or wish all Christians would do better? And I just said, to think. I just wish we would think. Like when we spout off our opinion on something, think first. Like, what would a wise, Spirit-filled person say in this scenario? Like, how would what we're saying or what we're stating or how we're living, can we just think for a second? And it's like, how does this point back to Jesus? How does this draw people back to Jesus? How does this show who Jesus is? Can we just do that? Can we just think for a second? I was also with a friend, and we were talking about some choices he was making in his life, and he was like, yeah, but Wags, like, we're talking about sex. And he was like, well, what about, you know, like, but people should be able to do whatever they want. And, like, it's different for everyone. And I was like, I don't know about that. I was like, I think there's a larger purpose to our sexual choices. And there's some depth that you got to have there. And I was like, matter of fact, I was like, how about this? What would you tell people to do or not do if you were God? And so he just sat there for a second. And he goes, I was like, would you tell them what you just told me? You're God. Would you tell them what you just told me was okay? He's like, well, no. And I was like, so my point is like, we've just got to like think a little bit. And that's what Paul's saying, like, but we're thoughtless and we're foolish when we're not willing to be open to what the Spirit will guide us into. And so in verse 18, he says this, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he brings up drinking alcohol and about being drunk. He's not making a statement about if you have a glass of wine. It's not that. He's like, people getting drunk make foolish decisions. How many guys have, just kidding. There's people that get drunk make foolish decisions, okay? You get beer muscles and you get fight somebody. You put beer goggles on and you sleep with somebody. You make all these like dumb decisions when you're drunk, and then sometimes it hurts your whole life. Sometimes it's a season of life. Sometimes the next morning you wake up and I can't believe I did this. It's all leading to emptiness. It's temporary. You get fun for no reason. And even if you talk to someone who gets addicted to alcohol, they begin to kind of describe as just like there's something in me trying to chase it and chase it and chase it. And I kept empty and chasing it, empty and chasing it, empty. And I didn't know. And it takes a grip on your life. And so Paul says, don't do that. Like, choose to be filled by the Spirit. That will actually lead you to freedom, that will lead you to truth, that will lead you to, and I love the way he describes it. He says, to sing psalms and hymns, and here's what he's saying. It does something in your soul. That's why I love like gospel music, and because like it's called soul music for a reason. It does something different inside of you. Into the depth of your soul, it reaches down there. That's what Paul is saying. And you guys know this feeling. If you think about your song, whatever that song that will get you dancing, that song, like when it comes in your car, it's like, bah, bah, like you don't care who's around, like that song that like changes your day. This is what Paul is saying. This is what the Spirit does. It gives you this soundtrack to life. That as you're filled with the Spirit, man, you come bopping into to work or in your family, whatever, and this song is playing in you, and you're bouncing around like you know you can and like you never have before. That's what the Spirit begins to do in us. And then here's what then comes out of us. People feel that. They're like, man, there's something different about you. Being around you, there's this like, there's this joy. There's this peace. You're making decisions differently. There's this self-control. There's something different about you. Why? Because you're filled with something. You're no longer empty. You're open to what God has for us. I want to close with this illustration. I often reference like how our brain works because I'm fascinated by it. And the reason why I'm fascinated by it is because sometimes I sit back and look at what science is discovering about our brains and I'm like, I cannot believe God created us this way. It's so cool. Like, we always want the quick fix of things, but God has actually, in a lot of ways, created our bodies to heal themselves. I get it. Sometimes we need a little help, but in a lot of ways, to heal ourselves. And so I was looking at this cognitive research that they've done on how our brains work, and what they found is that a third of our waking hours during the day are spent daydreaming. So you've probably done that for roughly 10 minutes of this 30 minutes that I've been speaking. But so a third of our waking hours are spent daydreaming. And do you know what the only thing is that interrupts that, that makes you focus? Is a story. A story, when you're reading a book, you don't daydream because you're in it. You are present. A story, when you're watching a movie that you love and you're in and you're quoting the lines, like you're looking at your fans, but you know, you're kind of like, it's called coming. What, you're in it. Why? Because you're present. You're not distracted. You aren't daydreaming. You aren't wondering. You're what if, da, 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 da. So the story, our brains are wired for story. And here's what I love about the Spirit and why when we're filled with the Spirit, it makes us present because we hear and we know that we are part of God's story. No longer are we trying to just make our own story. No longer are we trying to just do it on our own and be like, I'll earn God's favor, I'll do my thing, or I'll control my life. And that what? That makes us not present. You know how you know that? Because you're looking at your phone all the time. You're trying to look for the next thing, chase the next thing, looking for, it's not enough, not enough, not enough, not enough. But hold on a second. When we start realizing we're filled with the Spirit, we're open to the Spirit, we're part of God's story, then all of a sudden we can be present wherever we are. Because we're exactly where we need to be. And we no longer feel that emptiness that we feel like when I'm just chasing money, or I'm just chasing love, or I'm just chasing sex, or I'm just chasing whatever it is. All of a sudden we've got this fulfilled nature of us because of what the Spirit's doing in us and then what's coming out of us, and it allows us to truly be present. But we have to be open to the Spirit. Let's pray. God, I hope over these 4-5 weeks together that that we will all take one step, or maybe even more, but like just a step towards you. For some folks, this idea of being open to the Spirit is just this idea of maybe wanting to experience a life with you and what that's like, and choosing to follow you for the very first time. to hear that, you know what, I can't do this on my own, and to fully know that I need to live a life with greater purpose, and that's through you. Or maybe it's for folks that have just, you know what, you've been safe, you've been comfortable, but this is now a season in your life where, man, as I'm open, maybe I truly will be able to trust without borders. Or maybe if some other folks have been pretty seasoned, but this is just like another step to just see how the Spirit can fill us up even more and to truly live a free life. And so God, over these weeks together, I pray that when coming out of this is that we are truly present in life, that what's coming out of us are some clear indicators that the Spirit's at work in us. What comes out of us makes others aware that there's something different, that we are filled up and now overflowing with something rather than just being empty. So God, we're thankful that you've got a plan for us, that you've designed us in a certain way, that that you want us to experience life to its fullest. But the only way we can do that is if we're filled up with the Spirit working inside of us. So God, I just pray that we'll be willing to be open to who you are and that push aside any preconceived notions and trust in this process, trust in what you'll do in us, trust that things aren't going to get weird, and that at the end of everything that we'll be taking steps closer to you and that we'll also see other people wanting to know you as well. So we give this to you. In your name we pray, everybody said, amen. Hey guys, before you get out of here, if you do want to take a step with Jesus and want to, you know, like, this is my day to do so, we've got